This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4 and apparently up on TSN 2. Multi-channeled show today because Craig Button's in here.
We didn't start on TV.
No, and then they decided they're going to make up for it by putting us on two different channels.
There we go.
So there you go. Yeah, we got the Leaf game tonight. Ray Ferraro will join us in about 5 minutes from Scotiabank. Leafs Pens right here on TSN Radio. You can watch it on TSN 4 tonight. And some big news in the NFL, or potential news in the NFL. That broke yesterday right at the end of our show, that the owners are proposing a 17-game season, which has been in the mix for a long time, but also an expanded playoff
Aren't
structure.
The players going to squash that?
I kind of feel like they probably will. Like, by all accounts, the players are not interested in 17 games.
So they're going to say, okay, do we get to renegotiate our contracts for another game check? Or, like, how the hell does that work?
Well, exactly.
It says here, do you see the latest? NFL owners vote to accept negotiated terms on proposed new CBA.
Yeah, unanimous vote. So all the owners are on the same page. And, like, the pitch to the players would be simple. Yes, more games, but more money.
Right.
Like, the players get 48% of the pie or 50%, whatever it is. I'm not sure what it is in the NFL, but it's very similar to the NHL. You get, and the NBA, you get half the pie. So if the pie's bigger, you guys are making more money. And I think where they're going to try to sell it on the NFLPA is expanded rosters. It'll go from a 53-man roster maybe to 54, 55, if not more than that, and expanded practice players or practice rosters, which means, again, more employees, more people in the union, more money, more jobs.
You know who that hurts?
CFL.
Because, you know what the wages are in the CFL, you know, if you can be on a practice roster and those wages have increased and the number, because it's steadily increased the number on the practice roster, you know, and players now.
Can you just clarify what a practice roster play, like, is it just what it seems? Like,
they just practice. Yeah, you don't play.
And that's your job. You go out there and you're basically acting like a.
And if there are injuries, they'll buy your contract, so to speak. Yeah. Like that, Tony Romo was a practice player. He was a practice roster player in Dallas.
And another team can like, if they see Brian on, like, he's on Team A's practice roster and I want him, I can go and, you know, sign him.
I know, but what the hell do they do every day? Do they say, okay, we're playing a team that runs these routes, go and run them and let our guys protect passes?
Yeah, there's that too. Oh, yeah, there's all of that.
Yep. With training camp and with training and stuff like that, there's, you know, and you're dealing with so many different injuries. There's no minor league system in football, too. Like, there is the CFL or the XFL, but you lose the players if they go and sign with those teams.
What a mental
grind. You can't call them up from the CFL, so they created the practice roster.
What a mental grind to just say, I'm practicing every day. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, but you get compensated, right? Like, if you're on the practice squad.
How much could you be compensated for?
I'll bet you it's more than you think. Let's put it this way.
They're in competition with the CFL for players.
It's a good question, but I wouldn't be shocked if there's guys making $100,000 or something. I don't know.
I think you're right, Brian.
It's worth it. If you're a team and, like, you have a 53-man roster and the 54th man is a player who you think has potential.
You just keep him around.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know all the inner workings.
Minimum of $8,000 per week. Minimum.
Right. So I don't know if there's negotiations with that. There might be a standard fee on the practice.
Oh, there's probably a bunch of dudes.
So at a minimum of $8,000 per week, he would earn a minimum of $136,000 over the full regular season if he keeps his spot on the practice.
There you go. And you don't have to play, so your body's going to be, you know, you're all good. You're still in the NFL.
Have a night routine, though.
Oh. What's the bar play like?
Imagine
for a
getting
practice
a call from a
player.
Coach. You better be in by curfew.
How about this? How about the Saturday night routine when you know you're not playing?
No kidding. You can get after it on the Saturday night because the roster, it's been put in. You're not playing tomorrow, man.
You've put in your week's work.
Yeah. I wonder if you get you get access to like the clothing. And
I was going
to
say
kind of
Saturday night at the bar, you got full New York Giants logo on, hat, ball cap, full nine jacket.
Yeah. If they're young enough, they just go back to their college.
That's true. You're in the NFL.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought you were in the practice squad. Doesn't matter.
But they'll remember you from the college. You go back there. You got
absolutely.
Some coin to play.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, the magic ingredient I think that the NFL has always had, football in general, is that it's not overexposed. It's not oversaturated. You're always left wanting more. And I don't think this would do enough, going from 16 to 17 games and adding four more playoff teams. I still think we would eat it up and they'd make a lot of money and people might complain about changing a good thing. I don't think it would be enough to spoil that idea. But there will come a time where they'll be pushing up against that, and we'll get into it a little bit more later in the afternoon.
Goes up to 8,400 in 2020.
There you go. You're making some money on the practice squad. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline from Scotiabank Arena, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
I'm watching you guys on TV on a delay. I'm trying to figure out what the hell you're talking about because I wasn't listening. But, you know, I'm just kind of watching you guys. And it's actually, you sound better with no sound.
Yeah, well, that's. I think that's a compliment. I'll take it.
Sometimes, Ray, it's better to look intelligent than to open up your mouth and remove all doubt.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, Hayes picked up his papers a few times. That looked official.
Yeah, I'm very animated in here. I'm moving a lot. You would think I'm doing something important. I'm not at all. But,
well, we're not, but.
Yeah, well, we were talking about these new proposed rules in the NFL and how they're going to expand the practice squad. And we're all kind of ignorant to the inner workings of a practice squad, but Craig was saying that based on his knowledge and what he's just found, you can make like $8,000 a week.
8,400 minimum.
84 minimum.
This year.
And then over the course of a year, that's like 140 grand to never play and just practice.
I'm all in. I'll be a linebacker.
So, yeah, except you got to go to practice and get hit. Oh, I don't think none of us want to do that.
No.
I read this unreal story about these two guys. I want to say they were in Pittsburgh, but it might have been in Philly. And they basically lived in their car. They were on the practice roster. They'd sleep in the parking lot, and they had their clothes hung up, you know, around the car. And they'd eat. You know, they'd go into practice facility. I don't know, 7 o'clock in the morning. There's breakfast there. There's lunch there. They'd take home stuff to eat. They, you know, you got the whirlpool there. You got your treatments. It's like. So for half the day, they were living like kings, and for the rest of it, they were living in a car.
Well,
it was a crazy story, and I'm like, I didn't even really know that that would exist.
It's tough on the relationship if you're trying to date. Want to come back to the car?
Yeah, I play for the Cowboys, but I live in the parking lot.
Yeah, I'm in a van down by the river.
And not only that, I've got my buddy in the front seat.
Yeah, keep it down.
Yeah, and it's laundry day. All of our clothes are outside of the car. Yeah,
you know, it's funny you say that. Rick Tocchet, a couple of years ago when he was an assistant in Pittsburgh, he took me through the practice facility there. And you got Joe. He goes, if I got called up and I know I was only called up for 3 days, I just live right here. He goes, like, he showed me all the sleeping areas they have, everything, just what you were talking about. But he said I wouldn't even go in. I just live right here.
Yeah.
Now, well, remember when you were, you know, in your early 20s, right? And you got your apartment, and nobody's got any food at that time. You're eating in a restaurant or eating whatever you can, you know, come up with. I got a tour through the Red Wings' new facility when it just opened up. And so I walked through, and I see Dylan Larkin there, and I said, why would you have a home? Like, they've got a chef standing by in the kitchen. He's like, oh, yeah, I come in the morning to have a couple of eggs and an omelet and stuff. And then, you know, after practice, you have your shake and your lunch, and then you could take stuff home. I'm like, no wonder these guys don't leave and do anything. Everything's handed right into their hands.
Is there, like, a salary cap element to that? Like, are you...
No.
So,
no.
Yeah, I guess not, right? But it seems like a pretty big advantage for certain teams.
But now it seems like every team has it, and certain, like, not even just a little bit of it. Remember, you used to walk between the dressing rooms and the place smelled like a hockey rink. You go down there on game days, and they've got the food rolling in certain rinks that, you know, in their lounge, that's where the guys take their pregame from. It smells like a restaurant. It's like it's a completely different world than we wandered through, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's not a rink anymore, man.
No, we're speaking of rinks. What's the vibe down at that rink? Do you feel any tension, or is it just kind of business as usual, or what?
No, I wouldn't say it's business as usual. I remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking when Florida was here, you know, whether you sense a big game or not. And I said, it's kind of everybody's doing the same thing. Not today. Like, it almost feels like they've talked enough about whether they're ready. They've talked enough whether they have any urgency. They, you know, the coach has mentioned the common thread or the common denominator is urgency and a lack of, I forget the word he used, but you know, commitment basically to detail game to game. And so, like, I think everybody's kind of a little bit on the doubting side of the ledger here. That's just what I sense in the few people that I've talked to. And, you know, you see the scouts coming in and have a quick chat with them, and they're like, ooh, things aren't going so well here. And, everybody's waiting to see how they come out of the chute tonight.
Yeah, well, Jason Spezza was trying to put a positive spin on it, and I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, he said it might be good for the playoffs if we deal with this adversity.
Yeah, and that they're in a position that, you know, they want to be in because they're technically playing for something, and they are. But
I'm always a big believer that this is not a bad time for a slump because you can get through it and you're fired up and ready to go in the playoffs. But you got to be comfortably in the playoffs. The Caps are in a slump right now, but they've got enough points where it's not a major issue, and they can deal with it and be ready to go come playoff time.
Yeah, you're right. Like, they're two completely different things. And, you know, in your rant yesterday, you know, you mentioned about, like, what are they? Like, what is their style? What is it supposed to be? And I don't think the Caps have that same question, right? They might not be executing very well right now, but they've got a good idea about what they're supposed to be. And the Leafs can say they know, but do they really? And do they know that it can be effective or not? And the answer is they don't. Like, you can say, oh, they had a great run in December and January, and, you know, that's nice. However, it's not like buckle down time, and they've lost their way for sure. And the other part to that is, so they go and acquire Dennis Mulligan. I know they're trying to make some low cost moves to upset the apple cart in the bottom six there, but they've really committed to this style of play. Like, Mulligan is not big. They talk about, oh, he's small, but he's really competitive. Great. Fantastic. I watched Boston yesterday, and man, they've got their bottom six. They can move, and they're big. Like, for the most part, they're big and they run over people. And they've committed here in Toronto to playing a different way. And so it's hard to switch halfway through, and get a whole bunch of new players. So Mulligan kind of fits what they've been trying to do.
You know, Ray, I was watching that game last night with Edmonton and Boston, and I felt the same way. But you know, just when you talk about small players, and, you know, when Austin Matthews was asked yesterday, because he played with Mulligan in Zurich, the first words out of his mouth, well, he's a small guy. Like, that was the first thing that was mine. And I always keep in mind, Brian Murray, he always used to say, you know, if you have a, you know what you are, if you have a team full of small little players, you're a small little team.
So that's why Brian didn't like me, eh?
No,
I kind of like the lollygagging
comment. Key term there is team full of them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we used to beak at each other pretty good. He would give it to
me. You and Brian?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was so competitive. So competitive. But eventually, you've got to be able to impose your will on the game. And Toronto wants to impose their will with their puck possession, with their skill, with their speed. And they haven't been able to do that. They're increasingly losing puck battles more and more regularly. Through our buddies at Sports Logic, like, in the last five games, their five worst possession games of the season, like when they chart the 50-50 puck battles, nothing else, just here's a 50-50 puck, who gets it? Three of their worst five games are in the last five games. Like, they've lost their way. Now they're thinking, they're reaching, they're trying to cheat, they're trying to get it back, and they've lost their way. Until they get right back to getting to work here, they're going to have a trouble. Now, I'm going to use them as an example because I just walked by here, but Bob Airey just walked by. So when the Penguins were just beating the crap out of everybody in 91 and 92 and they were winning the Stanley Cups, those great teams, they had players like Airey that every puck battle was the whole game for him, right? You have to have, there has to be a mix for it. And outside of Zach Hyman, I don't know if there's been enough of that or if there is enough of that here.
Well, Jeff and I were talking yesterday about those Red Wings teams, and, you know, they had Fedorov and Yzerman and Larionov and Kozlov. But as Jeff pointed out, they also gave you a dose of Lapointe and McCarty and Draper and Maltby and Dandino.
And Shanahan.
Shanahan and Holmstrom.
And Holmstrom, like, yep.
They remember one of the most ferocious brawls of the last 25 years was Detroit.
Yep.
Colorado.
It was Detroit and Colorado, man. And, like, yeah, they had all kinds of skill, but nobody has ever attempted it with almost no size and will, right? Like, that's what we're seeing from Toronto. I'm most curious tonight, guys. This isn't about X and O's or anything else. Well, what do they got?
Yeah.
What are they coming out of the chute with? Are they going to be aggressive? Are they going to play with will? Are they going to play with backbone? The rest of it, that'll all sort itself out. But tonight, that's really, for me, that's the only thing it's about.
Is there one player in particular on the Maple Leafs that you have the spotlight on?
No, not really, Ryan. Not really, because you can say it could, you know, can this guy lead the team? Well, they're in a point where they need a lot from a lot more from a lot of people. So you can look at the top end and say, yeah, they need more out of there. You can look at their third line. So all of a sudden, Engvall's gone no goals in 16, and Kapanen or 17, and Kapanen's got one goal in 18. That's two-thirds of your third line. Like, you can't win with only part of the guys going part of the time. And the best example is when they drop the puck tonight, all they have to do is look across the face-off circle and look at the Penguins and how hard they play and how skilled they play. But when their skill isn't there, man, you've still got the hardest working, oh, you've called him the best grinder in the game, in Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, I think so. He's the best, hardest working, best player in the world. Like, for the
history of the game, maybe.
In the history of the game, the hardest working, best player in the world. That's what he is.
So just think those nights when maybe, even for him, the puck doesn't go well, right? He's grinding. Yeah. And I would say it's pretty fair to say Toronto doesn't have that or hasn't shown that yet.
Where does Sid still rank for you in terms of getting to call games?
Oh,
individual players.
Oh, I love it. I'm so intrigued with how strong he is and like how he's able to like single-handedly change the course of a game. Those are the guys that really are, you know, are my favorites, because, and the other thing with him is he plays with a joy. Like, there's a joy in what he's doing, and you can see it in the way he plays. He just walked by the other way there. Every time I see him, I mean, he's built like a cement truck. Like, he's, I don't know how tall he is. Is he 5'11"?
Barely.
Oh my gosh, he's just like a tank. And I love watching the games. I love calling the games when the best guys are in them. And those are the very best.
I'm fascinated by his hockey stick. It's really short, and it's a straight blade. It is a straight blade.
What would you have done with that?
I used to use that too, because Dougie Gilmore was my favorite player growing up, and I'm like, I want to use a straight stick like him. So in junior, I had a straight stick. And then those one pieces came out, and I just tried the standard Sakic banana curve, and I'm like, yeah, my shot's 100 miles an hour faster with this thing.
Sorry, Dougie Gilmore.
Yeah, sorry, Dougie. The love affair's over.
Change. I'll tuck my shirt in if I can, but that's about it.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, you're right about Sid in how entertaining he still finds the game, or how much excitement comes with it. But what I love about him is the emotional swings. I mean, he can go the other way, and he can look downright furious pissed and yelling at himself and teammates and coaches and refs, and he'll get into scrums.
That was something Ole mentioned about yesterday. It's what you get paid, but you're here to win. And so maybe as you get older, you understand that more. I don't know, but man, he leads through example more than anything else. I can't imagine he's in the room giving these great speeches. That just doesn't seem to be his way. But, man, everything is about the win. And that's the example that the Leafs have to get to. It's about the win. They've already, the big four, they've already been paid. Whether they get two goals or 72 goals, they've already been paid. It's about winning.
Well, switching that over to Edmonton, they lost in, was it overtime last night?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have done more than just survive without McDavid, without Cassian, without Neil, without Klefbom.
Didn't play last night.
Yeah. You know, Chris Russell has his detractors, but like, and it sounds like McDavid.
And he was out last night.
Right, exactly. Russell. Exactly. And McDavid's going to take the trip, and I believe I saw Rashog report that he hasn't ruled out playing tomorrow night. Man, would that be an accomplishment getting through without him?
Well, to get through this stretch without him, to hold your head above water, of course, that's a win for them. They played hard last night. They looked a little shell-shocked early. They got outshot like 10-2 in the first period. And then after that, I mean, they shut down the Boston power play, which is awesome. But they had seven chances, or the Bruins did. And they just, you know, the penalty killing held them in. Mike Smith was good in goal. They kind of did, you know, they get a power play goal to get to overtime, and then, you know, they don't win. But I think they've done a terrific job here. And Kenny Holland said today that, you know, for a player with term, he would put his first rounder in play. And that speaks pretty highly of the job Dave Tippett's done with this team to get them into this position.
Are we giving Dave Tippett enough credit, Ray?
Tip never gets enough credit. He's a fantastic coach.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly know him really well from when we played together in Hartford. And, you know, I always say about Tip that he was playing a system before we even had a system. Like, we just used to go out and play, and Tip knew where to be and where you should be. And he coaches with detail. He's honest. He's fair. I think those are a couple of, you know, real key words for, you know, when you're coaching in the NHL is players want the communication, but they want you to be honest and they want you to be fair. And Tip is that. And this has been a big change in the way the Oilers play, and it's been a much more organized season under his leadership.
Well, when I was after the news of Klefbom getting hurt, I said, geez, this could be the thing that sinks their season. And then when I watched the game last night and everything you just pointed out about Tip, I walked it back last night on SC and I said, no, it's not going to sink their season because of Dave Tippett.
Yeah, he is. I mean, look at the good news they've gotten, though, from their system. And this is, of course, predates Tip and predates Ken Holland. And that's, you know, they've gotten a terrific player in Ethan Bear. Caleb Jones has taken a monumental step forward. Kyler Yamamoto has been everything they'd hoped for in their first round pick from a few years ago. So they've got some performances from some guys out of the farm there that speak that maybe their scouts have done a pretty good job. They have unearthed some players that other people aren't talking about. You know, not the number one, number two overall picks, but these are guys lower in the draft. And they put them together. They've hung in there, and they're in that crazy division. So, you know, today you're in first, and tomorrow you're in fifth, and there's still a long way to go there.
Yeah, that division, that's going to be a blast the final couple months here. The
Pacific. Unless you're in it.
Well, yeah, true enough. But, you know, you're looking at a scenario where we could see Edmonton, Vancouver, Calgary in some order, 1, 2, 3 in the Pacific. And I don't think anyone suggested that was even a possibility in September.
No, I do think Vegas will take a leap here. I think Alec Martinez was a real nice pickup for them. And so I think that they'll take a leap and maybe get into that mix. And but nobody's running away with that, I don't see.
No, they're all right there. And then Winnipeg, just on the outside looking in. And, you know, they could be a wild card team. And I don't think they're going to catch Colorado or St. Louis or Dallas. Look at Dallas. Now Dallas is sitting atop that division like St. Louis has come back.
Shouldn't we talk about Dallas soon?
Yeah, they're built really well, man.
Yeah, they're gonna do some damage, I think.
Yep, they're a good team. Well, we'll see. All right, buddy. It'll be a fun one tonight, and we'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. Have a good night, guys. We'll talk to you.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota. Fall in love with your car again with rates as low as 0% at Maple Toyota right next to Canada's Wonderland. Leafs Penguins on TSN 4 tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider in studio in the 6 p.m. hour. Get back into these NFL proposals in terms of what they may or may not do if the players sign off on it. 17-game season, expanded playoff structure, whether or not we like it or not. David Ortiz calling out Mike Fiers, the whistleblower. We've got some audio. We'll let you hear what Big Poppy had to say about that.
Calling out the guy that blew the whistle?
Yep. I'm not surprised. He's not alone. He's not being as defiant as other players have been throughout the league, basically saying you're snitching on your former team. He tries to justify it a bit.
Kind of a greasy move.
Well,
but I think it was coming out no matter what.
I think over time it was going to come out. So we'll let you hear what Big Poppy had to say about Mike Fiers, the Houston situation. We'll get into it. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Mike Sando will join a senior NFL writer for The Athletic in about an hour on the new proposal from the NFL owners, 17-game season, expanded playoffs. And I think they can get away with it. I do think this is a sport. The NFL and football in general, they have a secret ingredient, and it is they always leave you wanting more because they only play so many games. So one extra game and a couple of extra playoff games, we're still going to watch. I don't need it by any means, But I'm not going to complain about it likely if it happens. And it's all about money. It's all about money. Extra game means more gates, more tickets sold. TV companies and everyone else has to pay that much more money. And that's the thing. Like, we keep focusing on cable and TV and where the world is going. Yet the NFL ratings every single year are monsters. And they're going to pay again. ESPN will pay, CBS will pay, NBC will pay, TSN pays up here. We all pay because the numbers are there, man.
But broadcast isn't changing. How we consume the broadcast is.
Potentially. But then again, look at the Super Bowl. Super Bowl had like 9 million Canadians watching.
No, no, I know that. But I mean, but we're going to see changing habits in how we consume, when I say consume it on the devices.
Right.
But broadcast is, you still have to have somebody there shooting the game.
Still need content.
Yeah.
You still need it. People want to watch it.
Because you are in the content game.
On the right side of the content game.
But you, and you just make a great point, Brian, about, you know, why is there demand for more games? Because there's an insatiable need to have more. All you got to do is look at the XFL, and the NFL is going, that could be money going in our pockets instead of that league.
Right,
pockets,
expand right? the season a little bit longer.
Exactly, because people want to watch football.
Yeah. Now there, I do think there's a limit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Based on just the physical nature of the sport, there's clearly a limit, and you're going to run out of players, and it's going to be too exhausting and too physical.
Oh, the players are going to be like, let's have some former players walk in here and watch the way they walk. And then they're going to be like, isn't that bad enough for you people?
Right.
You want to see more of that? They can hardly walk right now, and they played 16 games a year. And you want to add one more on? Look at the way those guys walk, or if they can.
I hope they're proposing, or the players counter with, like, another bye week. That's what they should be getting. You know, like in the CFL, they do that with 18 games. Like, if you're going to move to 17, have two bye weeks.
Well, now you extend the schedule again.
But that's fine, right?
I'm with you, Brian.
The NFL, if the NFL's playing, if they're in season, they're owning everything. Everything in the States.
For sure,
like the NBA doesn't show up, baseball doesn't show up, hockey doesn't show up. So now they play up until about the first weekend of February. Instead, make it the third weekend in February.
And I mean, they've limited practice in terms of what you can wear in the terms of pads and where contact can be and when it can't be, right? I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Give them an extra bye. Have two bye weeks. Expand the season that much more. Yeah. Not crazy. You're not looking at a 6 or 7 month season or 8 month season. But I think they're going to be able to get away with this.
Speaking of content, what do you think about this? TSN goes to Rob Gronkowski, and we call it the bye week with Gronk. And he follows the team on the bye week.
He leads the charge on the bye week.
Well, he can do whatever he wants, but...
You'd get a lot of views on that.
A lot of times where the cameras can't be around.
That is the only problem with that whole idea that you know you're going to get a G-rated product. If you guarantee me fully raw, 100%, he's going to be Gronk all the time and I have access to it, I'd pay for it. And I'd pay a lot for it.
I think he would be number one on my list. If you guys can come up with somebody, Grappler, Mulls. If there's one athlete out there that you think is going to come out of retirement, my guy is Gronk. It's Gronk.
Don't you think Brady factors in, though? Like, if he's coming back,
maybe
he's
goes
likely,
wherever Brady goes.
That would be wild. He is a free agent. He can do whatever he wants, I guess.
What other guy could you say, yeah, he's going to come back and he'll play again?
Well, the Grappler brought up Andrew Luck, which is a really intriguing name and story because when he shut it down, right? Like, he hadn't won anything.
What about Dustin Byfuglien?
I don't know about Big Buff.
Have you been hearing inside reports?
I have been hearing through the grapevine that he is not anywhere close to playing tonight.
But
put it that way.
I think he has a new name. He's called Bigger Buff.
Yeah, he's Bigger Buff. Bigger Buff.
He's beefed up a bit.
And his will to play is probably... It's a smaller will and a bigger buff. I don't think he's dying to
but
put
couldn't
the
you just go to the guy and say,
on.
Look, man, I don't care what you do. You got a month and a half. Just give me playoff time. Give me playoff buff.
Jumping just on a moving train, man.
Sit in a sauna for a month.
You know darn well there's teams that would absolutely do that.
Yeah, it's a free flyer.
Buff.
If you're like, we're going to pay $1 million or whatever, and this is what we can give you. We have the room.
Give him it's a signing bonus. You give him a minimum, right? He gets a signing bonus, so he gets his million or whatever, and we need you game one of the playoffs.
Yeah. And if he's terrible, you don't play game two. Yeah. All right, we lost $1 million. Who cares? It was worth a gamble. Oh, I think a lot of teams would do that. A lot of teams. I think Winnipeg would do that.
Why wouldn't the Leafs do that?
The Leafs should do that, but they got to make sure they get to the playoffs, but still. Yeah. I don't think he has it. I don't know this, but I don't sense he's dying to play right now. Because I think we would know that by now. Don't you think Byfuglien would have sent out some sort of smoke screen like, hey, I'm here and I'm training. Here's find me on Instagram. I just kind of put together this account, and here I am in the gym, and I'm fired up, boys. Get in line. We haven't heard anything. Just that there's a grievance or whatever, and he's trying to get money, and they're going to buy him out or whatever it is.
What about maybe it could be like a Shea Weber. Shea Weber, Connor, they just show up and they're ready to play. He doesn't tell anybody. He's been working. He's been working hard.
I would love to see it.
He shows up with no shirt on. And says to everyone, "He's in a jacked."
He's one of the most entertaining guys to watch play when he is playing. When he's in a mood and he's playing,
he
is great.
Grabbing two guys at a time last year and just smacking their heads together like a cartoon. It was the best.
Yeah, when he is in a mood and he's got an attitude on, it is like there aren't many people in the league that want anything to do with it.
No,
anything to do with it.
He should be one of those celebrity linesmen. Come in and, you know, it breaks up a fight.
Right. That's enough, boys. That's enough. You guys want to hear what David Ortiz had to say?
Who,
it sounds like Ortiz is a lot better. I mean, we all know that, like, he got shot multiple times, and he was really in bad shape.
Wasn't there rumors that he might have been part of that cheating reality show?
Yeah, I think something, I don't remember getting to the bottom of it, but like he might
have been, there was some retribution. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
A part of the show, but he was.
Yeah, that may have been why he was targeted
yeah.
Down in the Dominican, but he had surgery down there, then they got him up to Boston, and they saved his life, and he's down at Fort Myers. He's at JetBlue Park, and he's, I guess, you know, as an alumni or whatever, he's down there doing his thing and helping out with the Red Sox, and he was asked about the Houston situation, and I guess Mike Fiers, who was the whistleblower in it all, who was on that team in 2017 and since moved on, and he's now in Oakland, and he blew the doors wide open saying that they used technology and garbage cans and they were cheating, and now we are where we are today. Here's what David Ortiz had to say about it.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on? People is not stupid.
I don't disagree with that. It's like, and you know he's got an old school mentality as far as behavioral modifications, anything on the road, keep it on the DL. And he does not like a snitch.
No, he clearly doesn't like a snitch. I think there is a difference clearly between a snitch and a whistleblower. I don't think you're snitching if you're saying it publicly the way Fiers
By the way,
did.
The Friars' comments, did they just come out of the blue, like where they're talking about the championship? And he's like, man, they just came out of the blue, like out of.
Yeah, more or less, I think.
Like out of left field?
I don't think it was him reaching out to someone saying, I have something I really want to tell you. Like, let's go do this interview. I think it was just kind of a stream of consciousness conversation. So I'm not even sure if prior to the interview he was intending on this blowing up the way that it did, but it has now. But again, I do think there's a difference between, like, a snitch is someone that goes, you know, privately to an authority and rats you out for something that has more of a maybe salacious feel to it. This is about ethics in the game. This is about the history of the game. This is about the biggest cheating scandal in the history of the game, in my opinion, certainly from a team perspective. You know, you can talk about steroids versus knowing which pitch is coming, but steroids was individually driven. This was the whole team was behind it in Houston. So I take issue with the idea that, you know, snitching and what, there's some sort of statute of limitations that you can never talk about anything ever again, or you break some sort of code. I hear what he's saying about being in the room, but I also think it's a bit rich for Ortiz or anyone else to suggest that he would have done anything. You tell me if Ortiz was in that room and knew what was going on, he would have definitely put a stop to it. I can't guarantee that, and I don't think he can convince me
that
would have guaranteed.
What the Red Sox doing for their last World Series win with Cora as their skip? It's
right.
That's under investigation.
It currently is, and there still needs to be some repercussions. And David Ortiz, now he has always been adamant he didn't take anything, didn't take PEDs. But his name has been out there, and there were a lot of players he played with that were 100% taking stuff. Did he say anything at that time? I don't remember him saying anything at that time. I don't remember him going and saying that that's got to come to an end. So well, I don't even think
40 years old just crushing it. People were like, this guy's got to be on it.
Well, it's not even like I don't think he's even taking issue with, you know, snitching. He's taking an issue with just holding anybody accountable. And again, I don't know. I'm sure he was in positions throughout his career where something was going on in his clubhouse that he was aware
of. That he could have easily said something to.
Exactly.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah. And he didn't. So I don't think he's taking an issue with, like, based on his stance, he's saying, you know, snitching, whatever. Well, why didn't he say anything at the time? Well, you know, fires, he didn't, but eventually he did, and he's changed the history of baseball because of it.
Well, I mean, you know, back to just cheating, and we talk about when James was on earlier, right? How many times have you heard about somebody, right, in a relationship where the spouse found out that they were cheating, and then they found out that their friends knew? And why didn't you tell me? And that broke up other friendships, right? Like, you know, so like, you know, like, where does that line come in? Like, what do you do? Like, you know, like, you know, it's not an easy one to say, well, if he knew at the time, he should have said something, right? Like, you know, what were the circumstances? What was the lay of the land at that particular moment in time?
Well, and I also think it's worthy of a discussion about the whole system. And if he did say it privately at the time, would anything have happened?
Right.
Like, if let's say Fires did step up and go to A.J. Hinch, or go all the way up top to Jim Crane, the owner. Would Crane have done anything? I don't know if he would have. And I don't believe for a second if he went to Manfred himself and said, listen, I'm telling you, this is going on. I think Manfred would have tried to bury the whole thing.
Well,
I don't think it would have ever gone public, and we'd never be in the position we're in right now.
Well, the other thing you got to keep in mind about Mike Fiers is that if he comes out and he says it, well, that's one allegation. Now you got to get it corroborated. And how did MLB get it corroborated? They gave the players immunity.
Well,
after,
true.
Right, you know, so they gave him immunity. So you come out and everybody goes, no, that's not happening. They put a stop to it, right? Now Mike Fiers looks like, you know, somebody that's making false allegations.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Right. Like if Fiers is on his own doing it quietly, you know, or whatever, or privately, I think they just bury it.
Yep.
And if he calls back and goes, whatever happened with that? Oh, we talked to them. Yeah, and they said no. So that's the end of the road. Once it went public, then everyone gets involved in it. Then they can't sweep anything under the rug. So I will say Ortiz, his beard is always perfect. Did you see how, like,
not a gray hair? What is he? He's got to be 45.
Yeah, he'd be in his mid-40s now, close to it, 43 maybe.
Not a gray piece of hair. It's perfectly manicured.
Like, perfectly manicured. It looks like the greens at Augusta.
Yeah, it looks like LeBron's salad when he gets it redone.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's perfect. All right. Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, in studio in about a half an hour. And Mike Sando will join us as well, the NFL writer from The Athletic. We'll get back into the Greg Robinson stuff. Like, there's no way he's playing ever again in the NFL. You get caught with 157 pounds of weed, I think you're cut. Like, does your agent call the team and just, like, just to clarify, is he cut?
Well, it's a difficult call to the agent when you say, I got myself into a bit of a jam here. And he's like, what were you doing? A couple beers, you dry, like, what were you doing?
Mm-hmm.
No, I had 7 hockey bags loaded with marijuana in my Uber driver, and I was heading to Louisiana, and the agents just probably hangs up.
Yeah, you're fired.
Like, it's not later.
Lose my number, and I'm never... Like, this guy went second overall, man. This wasn't an undrafted practice squad grinding it out, gets on 53rd man on the roster making $750,000.
Like, just out of curiosity, Grappler, Google, like, what's the street value of 150 pounds of weed?
Well, it depends on how good the weed is, but I'm telling you, I read that. Well, if it's garbage weed, then I don't know how much, you know, you're selling it for or whatever, but I read it can be upwards of $500,000, like between $350,000 and like $700,000 based on the potency of the weed. So
I just don't get it. I don't know why he's involved with this stuff. You never know somebody's story. But you got to get somebody else to take the weed. I don't know where the hell the weed's going,
well,
but just get someone else to take it.
They tried to get the Uber guy to cop to it. And that's, I guess he was like, no way. He claims ignorance that he didn't even know that they had 157 pounds of weed, which, again, I have. How do you not know that? That would have been bag after bag after bag.
That would
bag.
Reek your car, too. Your car would just reek.
Yeah, I don't know. But he's, and they were like, when the cops were getting involved, they're like, you take the heat here. You pretend that it's yours. And he's like, no way, dude. No chance. I'm not going down for you. Anyway, Bob McKenzie in the next hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, TSN 1050's trade deadline is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Get fully equipped for winter in a Subaru during their Bring On Winter event. Enjoy lease and finance rates from 0.99% at your Ontario dealer. Craig Button's in here. Brian Hazio, Doug Jeff O'Neill. Bob McKenzie in studio in about 15 minutes. Lease pens on TSN Radio and on TSN 4 tonight. You see the story about Cristiano Ronaldo?
Another weird story about, didn't you tell a story a couple months ago about how he was outside of an event party and he was on a fake Twitter account ripping people inside the...
Yeah, I don't know if it was him or his sister, but they didn't show up to the the FIFA awards or what, because he knew he was going to lose, right? I think it was Messi that was going to win. I can't remember. It was the Ballon d'Or or whatever, like the
something to that effect.
Player of the world. So he showed up at the Italian awards because now he's playing in Italy for Juve, and held up the procedure or the proceedings at the Italian, you know, Football Federation's gala or whatever, because he was allegedly in the car outside with his sister on an anonymous account carving like Messi and FIFA, like, just, if that's true, that's so insecure and goofy for a guy who is like one of the all-time greats.
Oh, look at Kevin Durant, too. It's like, what do you need fake accounts and all that nonsense for?
I don't know.
They just can't stop themselves.
Can't stop themselves, always battling it out, always looking for better PR, always thinking other people are getting too much love. I think that's a big part of it. You know, Ronaldo's like obsessed with Messi.
How much more love could a guy like Kevin Durant or Ronaldo want?
I can't imagine ever thinking that someone gets more. Like, I guess LeBron does, and I guess maybe Messi does. You know, I don't know. We don't follow soccer enough, and we're not in Europe or whatever, but maybe those guys do. But beyond that, no one else does.
So just back to Greg Robinson.
Yeah, the weed smuggler.
Career earnings, $29.1 million. And they said the marijuana would be somewhere between $300,000 and $750,000.
Mm-hmm.
This guy might just take in the crown as one of the dumbest people on the planet.
absolutely indefensible.
Yeah.
Indefensible. How you would think you're... Like, he just played the series with Cleveland, of course. But, like, he just played. You're making money.
I don't think his career's over. He'll get through this.
How do you not go to jail? Like, down there in the States, too, man? Like, you get caught down there in the South, and you got 157
Well, that's
pounds
possession.
Of weed.
That's possession with intent to distribute.
Maybe he had trouble sleeping. You never know.
No, I'm pretty sure that
was. Maybe
he
was just going to go into the brownie business.
Well, because I think weed
edibles, Jeff, edibles.
I don't know if it's officially legal yet in California, but it's moving towards that. I
Colorado,
think they voted
legal.
On it.
Yeah, go on GoDaddy.com. I'm starting up a cupcake company. I needed to bring this for the recipes.
Yeah, 157 pounds worth.
Yeah,
he went second overall. He probably had $20 million on his bank before he even stepped on the field in the NFL.
Yeah, he had his signing bonus was $13.8 million.
There you go. Maybe some endorsements, although like tackles don't get a ton of endorsements. When was the last time there was a left tackle?
But the second overall pick does, but 13.8.
Yeah.
Before he'd ever taken a snap.
Well, yeah. I wanted $500,000 more. $500,000 more, and he made it. That was probably what he was thinking. As for Ronaldo, apparently he gives his girlfriend $100,000 cash a month to live lavishly. Like, wouldn't he kind of bring that anyway? Like, so it's just, here's $100,000 a month, $1.2 million per, I guess, just to do whatever you want, whenever you want.
Doesn't he make like $1.2 million per match?
Yeah, so he's making...
He makes $1 million per Instagram post.
Yeah, he's right there with the Kardashians. Like, he's a top three or four guy online. Like, alone on Instagram, he could live the rest of his life.
That's chicken scratch, handing that kind of cash over.
$100,000?
But I mean,
I want to be.
You can't complain about
it. Where it's like, do you really need another $100,000?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
If you weren't feeling well for a couple weeks in March and you didn't really go anywhere, come April, do you need another 100 G's?
Yeah, no kidding.
Like
$100,000 cash.
Like, let's take a look in the sock drawer. What's in there right now?
Do you complain if the payment's a day late? Or you're like, excuse me, where's my $100,000? I don't know. All right, final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.